Welcome to our Saint Sunday After Epiphany Worship Podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and our Savers Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota, January 23, 2022. This is Pastor Olana. Each one of us come into God's house individually from different backgrounds, families, situations, experiences, challenges, and joys. But here in God's house, something happens that makes us not just a collection of individuals, but joined together as one person, one body. This unity happens because we have been gathered by one baptism in one faith, in one Lord, our God, whose greatness has been shown in our heart, and to the world in His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Here our Lord speaks and we listen. And in the listening, we are moved to repentance and faith, to repentance of heart over our sins and true faith that knows that the Scriptures, the Word of God, are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. May true joy motivate our praise of God here and all our day as God's people scattered throughout the world. May the gracious Lord bless you this morning as you worship with us. We open our service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, keep record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought and word and deed and not we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. How is this confession receives absolution? Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgive all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ in His authority, I therefore forgive all your sins in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
To God.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, merciful, look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God and now forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for this Sunday is taken from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people, for he was above all the people. And he opened it, and all people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their face to the ground. They read from the book from the law of God clearly, and they gave sentence so that the people understood the reading. Nehemiah was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who told the people say to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the word of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portion to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks to be God. Our epistle reading for this Sunday is taken from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 12 through 31. For just as the body is one, has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, Because I am not hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less or a part of the body. And if ear should say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranges the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would be the body be? And it is there has many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again heed to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the part of the body that seem to be weaker and are indispensable, and are those part of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable part are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable part do not require. But God has not composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gift of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And a scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him, and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me to this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What you have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your town as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own town. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over the land. And Elijah was sent to one of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, the woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town, and brought him to the brows of hills on which their town was built, so they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us confess our confession in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven.
and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From Zion he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Christ, our true and only light, and light in those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice. Fill with the radiance of souls now lost in error's ways, and lighten those whose inmost minds some dark delusion haunts and binds. Oh, gently call those gone astray, that they may find the same.
Blessed day to you. This is Pastor Stolman with a Bible study of the Epistle lesson for the third Sunday after Epiphany. First, we begin with prayer. Almighty God, from whom comes every good and perfect gift, we give you thanks for all we have received in the past week, spiritual and physical. We ask that in your goodness you would grant us your favor in the coming week also. And now open our ears and hearts to hear your word. We pray for the Spirit's guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we began a study of the last chapters of the Apostle Paul's first letter to the current congregation in Corinth. We said that we would be concentrating first on chapter 12 for a couple of weeks. In this chapter, Paul compares the Holy Christian Church, that is, the body of Christ, with a human body in what it is and how it operates. Dr. Martin Luther recognizes the work of the Holy Spirit with the church as a body when he writes, "There is on earth a community of pure saints under one head, Christ. I was brought to it by the Holy Spirit and incorporated into it." Excuse me. "I was brought to it by the Holy Spirit and incorporated into it through the fact that I have heard and still hear God's word," thus far Luther. In that word, we hear how we are related to one another as the church, members together as a body. We begin our reading today with verses 12 to 14 of chapter 12. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. That phrase, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, that phrase means that through this means of grace, the Holy Spirit produces faith in believers and makes them members of Christ's body, the Christian Church. Also by the phrases, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we see that in the Church there are no racial distinctions, no cultural distinctions, or social distinctions. Because, as Paul also writes, because all were made to drink of one Spirit. We believe that God has given His Spirit to dwell in us, so that our lives overflow with the fruits of the Spirit. Those fruits include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as they are spelled out in Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 5. The fruits of the Spirit refer to the results of the changes in our lives who live with the Holy Spirit. We continue now with our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now reading verses 15 to 26. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head to say to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body which we think less honorable, we invest with a greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Thus far the reading. Here is the supreme glory of all Christians. We are part of the body of Christ in this world. In our text, Paul draws a picture of the unity which should exist inside the church if it is to fulfill its proper function. A body is healthy and efficient only when each part is functioning perfectly. The parts of the body are not jealous of each other and do not covet each other's functions. From Paul's picture, we see certain things which ought to exist in the church, body of Christ. They are, and include, we ought to realize that we need each other. There can be no such things as isolation in the church. Secondly, we ought to respect each other. All service ranks the same with God. Whenever we begin to think about our own importance, real Christian work together begins to fail. Thirdly, we ought to sympathize with each other. If anyone in the body is having trouble, we ought to help that person as Christ did for His body, the church, because the church is a whole like the body is whole. The person who cannot see beyond his or her own organization, the person who cannot see beyond his or her congregation, worse still, the person who cannot see beyond his or her own family circle, has not even begun to grasp the real unity of the church. In other words, as members of Christ's church, we are to work together and help each other, whether we are leaders or followers, whether we are considered important or ordinary. When Paul writes, parts of the body, some are weaker, some less honorable, unpresentable, it shows Jesus' concern for everyone in the church, whether leader or follower. God's concern for both the brilliant and average, the well-known and ordinary, shows that he is the creator and redeemer of all, and they are all indispensable members of the church. Finally, we continue our reading from chapter 12 with verses 27 to 31. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Thus far the reading. This listing of apostles, prophets, teachers, etc., reminds one of a similar list by St. Paul in his letter to Ephesians, chapter 4. Apostles are the eye and ear witnesses and authorized messengers of Christ, which are essential to the establishment of the church. That's why they are called, that the church is said, built on the foundation of the apostles. Through them, Christ speaks and gathers his own. There are also the evangelists, who spread the apostolic word abroad, and the prophets who guide and enlighten the church in such matters as missions and charity. And there are pastors and teachers who attend to the day-by-day nurture and edification of the churches established by the labors of apostles and evangelists. All of us have a gift of the Spirit. No matter what gift you have, Paul sums this up when he writes, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. The Holy Spirit puts men under the lordship of Jesus, the crucified. The gifts which the Spirit bestows are therefore to be expression of the Lord's self-giving will and are to be used in mutual service for the church, that is, the body of Christ. Whereas in the human body, no member can be solitary or self-sufficient, all members are necessary. The highest gift of the Spirit is the gift of that indispensable love which sets people free for ministry. After all, that's what it means to be a member of the Holy Christian Church. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as members of your church, help us serve as you served, willingly obeying the word, for in your word we find salvation, blessing, and guidance. It is your blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we seek again this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Join me, please, for a closing prayer. Lord Jesus, you have made known to us the things of the kingdom today. Show us to apply what we have learned in this service to our daily lives. Help us to make wise choices throughout the week for the glory of your name. May we be able to shift through all that we have learned so that we can walk in your ways. Father, give us wisdom that leads to love and faith. In Jesus' name we believe and pray. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
Steadfast in your word, curb those who by deceit or sword would ask the kingdom for your son and bring to naught all he has done.
Lord Jesus Christ, your power make known.